Support for the Front Row on FM 89.1 comes from the Community Foundation of West Texas and from Citibank. Citibank's wealth management team of advisors, private bankers, and trust officers help customers create personalized strategies to help connect with long-term goals. More information on Citibank Wealth Management is available at 806-687-2955. And from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vast opportunities abound in art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by vastly talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vastly different. Lake Ridge United Methodist Church sponsors a concert series, the first of which for this year is coming up this week. We'll have all the details on today's show. I hope you can stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we are in the office of Dr. Andrew Stetson, who is Associate Professor of Trumpet here at Texas Tech University, but he also does many things throughout our community. We also have with us Dr. Eric Allen, who is Associate Director of Bands here at Texas Tech University. But for the purposes of today's show, we're actually going to talk to them about something that is taking place outside the academy, actually at Lake Ridge United Methodist Church. And Dr. Allen, tell us a little bit about your involvement with Lake Ridge and what you do there and your responsibilities.
Absolutely. My role at Lake Ridge is the coordinator of instrumental and special music. I do that regularly there. As part of that role, I've helped create a concert series there at the church, which has really circled around the medium of chamber orchestra. And so we developed a chamber orchestra program that basically functions through the church and offers free concerts to our community so that anyone can come and experience amazing classical music performed by professional players in our community.
Right. And you have a whole concert series lined out for this year, I'm guessing.
Yes. Well, we have scheduled the fall concert so far. We typically do one concert per academic semester if we were to gauge that by the calendar. And this fall, our first concert will be Friday, August 30th at 7 p.m. at Lake Ridge United Methodist Church.
All right, good. Tell us a little bit about the repertoire.
Sure. So we'll have a few chamber ensembles performing music such as a piece by Tomasi that will open the program with a few smaller chamber ensemble pieces. And then we'll segue into the full orchestra, almost as if it builds momentum to the larger orchestra toward the end of the program. The first piece for strings will be a movement from Dvorak's String Serenade. And so we'll begin with that and then segue into a really special classical trumpet concerto, the Neruda Trumpet Concerto, that my colleague will be performing. Following an intermission, we'll perform the first movement of Beethoven's Heroic Symphony, the Eroica, which, as many of our listeners know, his 250th birthday will be next year. And so this is kind of a prelude to Beethoven's 250th. And so we're excited to be a part of that and share in this monumental work of Beethoven. And we'll close with the overture to Orpheus in the Underworld by Offenbach.
Well, great program.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Great. You mentioned the orchestra. Let me unpack that a little bit. Is this an orchestra that is part of Lake Ridge United Methodist Church?
Well, the church helps sponsors this event as something that we do for our community. Most of the players, though, are professionals. Many of the faculty at Texas Tech are a part of this concert. Some professional players from our community. Some of our graduate students, our highest level performing students here at the university, some participate in it as well. So it's kind of an eclectic group, if you will, but all from people who are well-educated in music, obviously,
right,
and who have a long-standing tradition of performance.
Right. And you solicit those players and bring them together to do a concert.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. All right. Absolutely. Well, let's delve into the Neruda Trumpet Concerto with Dr. Andrew Stetson, who will be the soloist. Andy, welcome. Glad you're back with us.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
So tell us about your experience with the Neruda Concerto. You've taught it a bunch, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, my first experience with it was actually as a first-year student at New England Conservatory, it was a contest piece selected for the International Trumpet Guild. And it was just the first movement, and I had to record it to win a scholarship to attend the conference. And I remember playing that first movement so many times, everybody on my floor in my dorm when I was recording it. They would sing it back to me and just beg for the deadline to pass so I could stop trying to play this piece. But I had never really performed it beyond that, even though I recorded it for that competition, have taught it. So this is really my first go at playing the entire concerto. What I love about it, though, is it's not really a trumpet concerto. It's actually written for a different instrument that we've sort of stolen. It's originally for corno da caccia, which is, you can imagine, a French horn, really. It's just a smaller French horn in a way, and it's wrapped that way. What makes trumpet players more suited to maybe play that instrument is that the mouthpiece is actually a lot closer to what the modern trumpet mouthpiece would be. And that's sort of how we've, as trumpet players, sort of stolen this piece away and call it a trumpet concerto. But I've heard it performed 2 years ago on that the period instrument, the corno da caccia. It sounds a lot like a trumpet. So I don't think the listeners are losing anything by hearing me perform on a modern E-flat trumpet. But I'm really excited to finally get to take this. Really the first piece I learned as a sort of aspiring professional, finally get to present the full-length work.
Right. So Czech Bohemian composer, three-movement concerto?
Yeah. In the realm of most concerti, the beautiful second movement. It's very melodic. That's my favorite part, actually. A lot of opportunities for small solo cadenzas. You know, they look out for some special hints at some local tunes people may recognize in some of my cadenzas.
Oh, okay.
I won't give them away. but you know, there are a lot of written cadenzas that famous performers have done, and people transcribe them and copy them. But for all of my time teaching, I've always sort of forced students to write their own cadenzas.
Yeah.
And so now I'm having to do that myself. But I think it's, you know, it's partly a lot of the classical style. There seems to be a lot of humor. Maybe not so much in the, you know, a work by Neruda, but certainly Mozart and Haydn were humorous in their writing, and so I'm going to put a little bit of humor in my my cadenzas.
And the Neruda concerto for a trumpet player is a standard literature concerto. Everyone would, all trumpet players would know this.
Yeah, I think a little less so than, you know, the Haydn or the Hummel written for the other period instrument of the time, the keyed trumpet. But yeah, there's only those three that we have from that era, as our, you know, the valve wasn't really part of the instrument until the early 1800s. And so the modern instrument didn't exist during the time that these works are written. So we're really struggling to have that repertoire to grab onto. And so this is our classical, as trumpet players, it's our classical rep.
Right. So the corno da caccia that you described is not a valved. Non-valved instrument. Okay.
No, so it's completely valveless and tiny in the way it might look smaller just because it's wrapped smaller, but it's actually the tubing length is quite long.
Right.
And so it can function in the key of E flat that way. And,
right. But a circular looking instrument rather than an elongated one.
Right.
Like associate with a trumpet.
Yeah, if I had one to show anybody, it would look much more like a horn than a trumpet.
Yeah.
You would think I was being an imposter. standing up there, but it's the mouthpiece and really the interface that connects the person to the instrument is more trumpet-like, and that's why it works really well for us.
Is the tessitura high? A lot of times, early music can sometimes be very high.
It's not as high as some of the Baroque works of Bach and things, but it gets up there a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's comfortable. I'm playing it on an E flat trumpet, almost specifically designed for just these works, so it. You know, for me, I'm just in the key of C,
right.
So it feels very comfortable on that equipment.
Right. Great. Well, good luck with your chance to play the Neruda concerto. Well, we're looking forward to hear it. It's gonna be fantastic. Great.
Yeah, thank you,
Dr. Allen. Let's unpack a little bit about some of the other music that is on the program. That you're doing the first movement of the Eroica Symphony, the Heroic Symphony by Beethoven. Your first time out with that?
Oh, absolutely. So as someone who grew up in the band medium primarily, this is quite exciting to have the opportunity to conduct Beethoven's Third Symphony. Obviously, it's going into this 250th birthday of Beethoven, the opportunity to play this transformative work really, I mean, is just amazing. It's one that, you know, we all grow up studying music and we learn about the symphony in our history courses as, right. as being that transformative moment where Beethoven really stepped out there and really pushed the envelope as far as length and virtuosity and the size and scope of the symphony that really many associate with that transitional time from classical to this romantic, yeah. more elaborate.
The door to classicism began to close with right. this with this work. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So, and the first movement, you know, one of the things that is special about this concert series, I think, is we typically do shorter works on these concerts so that we can do more variety, so that the listener, that this particular listener, could come and experience Beethoven while also experiencing chamber music. And sometimes we've programmed, you know, a wind work as part of the program. So it's very eclectic in a way. So the program just kind of flows. So there's you know, it would, we would, of course, all of the musicians, we would love to play the entire Beethoven, but sure. we'd be there a while.
Right.
But, and so we have the opportunity to perform so that our listeners who, you know, some of which who go to the symphony regularly, some of which who, mm-hmm. this may be one of their first experiences with classical repertoire. Right. It's an opportunity for them to go and experience those things without maybe being overwhelmed by the duration right. of a full Beethoven symphony.
Right.
But the first movement in itself is 15 to 17 minutes, depending upon repeats of the exposition. And so it gives the listener a chance to hear something in sonata form that really feels like a complete work.
Right,
I mean, it really
right.
does. It just, it feels very final when we reach the last cadence.
You're associate director of bands. You said you've worked in the wind ensemble with winds and, mm-hmm. and band. But you're going to do part of the Dvorak string serenade. So what's that like for you to conduct a different kind of ensemble?
Oh, it's amazing. I, you know, as a conductor, you know, when I studied and during my graduate work, I had the opportunity to spend time working with choral ensembles, working with orchestras, and of course working with wind bands, which has always been my primary role. But, you know, I think as a conductor, we enjoy conducting music.
Yeah.
We enjoy making music. And our most recent concert with Lake Ridge was a collaboration for the Bruckner E minor Mass, where Alan Zabriskie and I worked together. And so we did choral. And so the opportunity to do something with just strings, of course, is just terrific. An amazing work. And we're only doing a very small segment of that serenade. It's just kind of a, if you will, almost an appetizer to the program. It's just such a different sonority than what, you know, we as band directors work with all the time. And it's wonderful. It's right. wonderful right. to hear the expression.
Right. The concert is on the 30th. Is that correct?
Correct. August 30th at 7 p.m. There are no tickets. Just come and enjoy a night of great music. We will have a reception that will follow with just some nice refreshments and things like that.
Right. And this is Lake Ridge United Methodist Church on 82nd Street.
On 82nd, but on the south side of 82nd between Slide and Quaker. That's the best way I could describe that. And again, doors will open at 6:30. And the concert we anticipate being approximately just a little over an hour and 15 minutes or so. So there's time to have dinner before or time to have dinner after.
Great. Excellent. Dr. Eric Allen, Dr. Andrew Stetson, thank you both very, very much for being with us on the Front Row today.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Today's edition of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick, your host. Thanks for tuning in and listening.